Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Can I give you a little backstory to the sermon? Sometimes, you know, I've preached many sermons more this year than probably ever. but hearing why we preach different things, I guess maybe, or where they come from, maybe helps us to understand a little bit. Back in May, Melissa and I took a vacation to Florida, and I'd get up an hour or two before Melissa every morning, and I'd go sit on the balcony, and, you know, the ocean's right there, a beautiful scene, and I took a notebook with me. I'd read the Bible for a few minutes, and I took a notebook with me. This is the first year I've ever done that. And day after day, I was writing out sermon notes. I was writing out different things that just was flooding into me then. And sometimes it was only one word. Sometimes I'd just write one word out. And I really felt that God was giving me what he wanted me to speak. Eventually. Maybe not right away, but eventually. And one of those words I wrote out was recreation. Just one word. And, you know, it's like, okay. But then on July 1st, Saturday, I started sitting down on my laptop and typing out the sermon. And pulling scripture for it from the internet and copying and paste to my notes and everything. And one of the scriptures was Genesis 1 and 26. The next day, I'm here at church, and Reverend Bill Blaine's preaching. And what scripture does he start with that morning but Genesis 1 and 26? I thought, uh-oh. So then I was talking to Bill a day or two later, and I told him this, and I told him where I was going, and he goes, so did you rip the sermon up and throw it away? I said, no. I said, it's not the same sermon. It's the same scripture, but not the same sermon. So I just kind of wanted to give you a little background as to where this stuff comes from. It comes from God. And that morning when Brother Bill was preaching, I felt affirmation that this is the next sermon I need to preach. And so with that being said, let's jump into some scripture. And in case you can't guess, it's Genesis 1, starting at verse 26. And I'm going to ask you to stand as we read God's Word this morning. It's a little different. I don't usually do that, but I really feel that the Holy Spirit's present this morning, and I want to honor Him. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that we may rule over the fish, so that he may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be your food. And to all the beasts of the earth and the birds of the sky and the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath and life in it, I will give green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Father God, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we're grateful that you've given us your word. You've given us this book we call the Bible so we can come closer and draw nearer to you, Lord. And Father, this morning I just ask you to make your words known, Lord, not mine. Not my words, Lord, but yours. Father, I feel that you've given this sermon to me to preach this morning, Lord. And Father, I just ask you to open our hearts to receive it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. We all know the story, right? The story of creation. Okay, two people. Good. Where God spoke everything into existence. God created the heavens and the earth. Before God spoke it all into existence, there was only chaos. Only chaos. But God said, "Let there be light." And there was
light.
Oh, you've read the story. Good. There was light. It only took God's word to bring light into existence. It only took God's word to bring light out of chaos. Chaos. Words are powerful when they're spoken by our mighty God, aren't they?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And God spoke everything into existence. God said, and there was. God said, and there was. Day after day, He spoke over and over, day after day, until He brought all of creation into existence. Everything. And each day He saw what He created, and He said, "It's good. It's good." But when His creation was completed, He didn't call it good anymore. He said, "It's very good. It's very good." God's creation was created to be very good. God saw the land and the oceans. He saw the sun and the moon. He saw the plants and the animals. God saw man and woman. God saw all this, and He said, "It's very good. It's very good." Y'all very good this morning?
Amen.
All right. God don't create no junk. All right? Everything He created was very good. Even the people. Now, we all know people, so we may disagree with that statement. But even the people. God didn't create us to be messed up. We did that all on our own. We did that on our own. We were created in the image of our Creator. Now think about the image of God for a minute. What do you picture when you think about the image of God? Love? Justice? Beautiful? God is holy, right? Kindness? Yes. God is holy. God is holy. So wouldn't you think that those created in the image of God were created to be holy?
Amen.
As God is holy?
Yes.
Are we created to be holy?
Hmm.
Come on now, you and I weren't created to be evil. We were not created for evil. We weren't created to do bad things.
Amen.
We weren't created to hate each other.
Yes.
We weren't created to harm and kill each other.
Amen.
Even the animals were created not to harm each other. They didn't kill each other for food back then. I mean, it says right there, He created all the green plants for the animals to eat. Life was perfect. Life was perfect. You didn't have to lock your doors at night, right? You didn't have to worry about people breaking in. You could leave your car running while you ran into the store to get you a Pepsi. Okay? You see that in the garden, don't you, Lorraine? You had nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. No one and nothing wanted to harm you. Well, I guess there was someone who wanted to harm us, right? That old serpent. That old serpent lied to Eve, and he lied to Adam. You read the passage, you see Adam was right there with Eve, right? I mean, it wasn't that she did it on her own. They listened to Satan's lies, and in doing so, they allowed sin to enter into their bloodline. God's creation was very good. And now it was broken. Now God's creation was broken. It was broken and it's still broken. It's still broken today. Adam and Eve listened to the wrong voice. Now I know none of us have ever done that, right? Anybody here ever listened to the wrong voice? No, we don't do that. Not at all. But Satan knows how to deceive, so, you know, I'm sure we listen to it now and then. But at least they had the defense of being naive, right? They'd never been lied to before. What's my excuse? God never lied to them. They didn't lie to each other. I mean, can you picture Adam getting home from a late night and Eve saying, "Where you been?" And he says, "Hey, I was out hanging with the boys." And she's like, "Adam, there ain't nobody else. Ain't nobody else." He didn't do that. He wasn't going to lie to her. So yes, they listened to the wrong voice, and creation has been broken ever since. Creation was no longer very good. Animals would now kill each other for food. They might even kill people. Mosquitoes would bite. Bees would sting. Snakes, well, they might not lie to you anymore, but their bite may kill you. Brother would kill brother. Disease was born and cancer would kill. Tornadoes and earthquakes would bring about destruction. People would have to work for survival. People would now grow old and die. People would hate each other. But that wasn't how God created it. That's what it became when we broke His creation. We're like little kids with a new toy. We break it 5 minutes after we get it. But God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. But God is able. You believe God is able this morning? All right. Don't you think that the God who created something very good out of nothing but chaos can recreate something very good after the mess we've made of it? He's in the business of making all things new. He's in the business of making things right. God is able. He saw all that He created and called it very good. Now His heart must be broken that He's seen we've broken the goodness that He created. But the Bible says He's not done yet. God's still working. God's still working. God will make all things new. God will recreate His creation. He'll bring us something new. And when He does, look out. Yes. You know, a song that really hit me, when I can only imagine. I don't think I can. Picture the scene with me for a minute. Out of Isaiah 11, starting at verse 6. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf, the lion, and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand in the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen. The wolf and the lamb? The leopard and the goat. The cow will feed with the bear. The lion will eat straw. The infant will play near a cobra. How many of you are going to let your little child or grandchildren or great-grandkids play with a cobra? I mean, you figure king cobra can get like 20 feet long. You going to let your baby grow play with that? Sounds a little far-fetched to me. Sounds just a little far-fetched. That doesn't even sound possible. But God, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Okay, Dexter says no. Nobody else is sure. What is not possible with man is possible with God. We can't tame these wild animals to be kind and gentle and lions to eat straw. But God can. God can. And this is just a glimpse of what has come. In the beginning, the animals weren't enemies of each other. They didn't hunt each other. In the beginning, we weren't enemies of God. We were created in His image. We were created to be holy. And God will do a new thing in this land.
Yes.
God will do a new thing. Think about the most beautiful scene you've ever seen. You ever been to the mountains or the ocean or tropical island or something? You saw, man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Oh, that will pale in comparison to what we're going to see when God makes all things new. That is nothing like what we're going to see. If you'd been in the garden with Adam and Eve and saw everything that they saw, the beauty of it, the very goodness of it, I got a feeling that would pale in comparison to what's coming. Figure he did that in 6 days. How long has he been working since then? And it's not just a restoration. It's not just a restoration. It's a recreation. Have you ever seen those shows on TV where they buy an old rundown house and they restore it and make it all pretty and restore it to its former glory? You know? They may bring in some new items, reconfigure the walls, add some paint. But they're working with what they have. They're working with limitations. Because we all work with our limitations, right? We have limitations, and that's not a bad thing. There's certain things we can do, certain things maybe we shouldn't do. But they're still, they're just working with this house and they're doing reconfiguring it as they see. But God knows no such limitations. The God we serve is not limited as we are. He doesn't look around and figure out what he can do with the space he has. I mean, really? He doesn't have to go to Lowe's and buy some new paint like we do. God is not limited as we are. We have to work with what we have. Right? When you're redoing a house or redoing something, you have to work with what you have. But God speaks into existence what he wants to work with. He's not limited. God will make all things new. Revelation 21, starting at verse 5. Or verse 1, excuse me. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven had, and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things have passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." He said, "Write this down, for the words are trustworthy and true." Man, y'all know God's words are trustworthy and true, right? And don't limit your thinking by what's to come. Right? When they were writing the images of heaven in the Bible, streets of gold, gates of pearl and all that, that's only what their human minds could grasp from what they were seeing. It's way more, way more. And don't limit your thinking that, you know, when you die, you're going to go to heaven, sit on a cloud and play harp. There'll be new heaven and a new earth. The old will be gone and the new will be amazing. Amazing. No more pain. Amen. No more tears. No more death. No more suffering. No more sorrow. No more sadness. No more poverty. No more addiction. No more hate. No more cancer. No more saying goodbye to loved ones. No more. A new earth. A new heaven. All things will be beautiful. All things. Not just the old with a new paint job. If God created everything good out of chaos, don't you think he could do that again? I mean, this world we live in is chaos. Oh, yes. But why does this matter? Why does it matter? I mean, if I know I'm good with Jesus and I know I'm going to spend eternity with God, I won't be suffering in hell. So why am I talking about all this? Well, let me ask you a question. Is anybody here suffering today? Are you suffering now? Have you suffered in the past? Do you think maybe tomorrow you might suffer? That's why this matters. We need to know what's coming. We need to know what's coming because we are suffering now. We need to know that God Himself will wipe away the tears from our eyes. Imagine that. God Himself will wipe away your tears. Anybody had tears this week? God will be wiping them away. He'll take away our suffering. He'll bring a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth. But let me ask you, do you want to see this recreation? New bodies. Okay, some of you want to see a new creation. The rest of you, you're free to go. No, just do you want to see all things new?
Yes.
You know, sometimes our suffering on this earth is bad. And I'm not making light of it. I know. It's bad. Sometimes we feel like we're in the valley. Sometimes we feel like we're in the pit. Sometimes we feel like we're walking through hell itself. You been there? So let me ask a question. What kind of hell did you go through yesterday that you want to see God wipe away? And if you do, I want you to stand up and give Him praise right now, Lord. Father God, we praise Your name. We praise Your names. What kind of hell are you going through today that you want to see God wipe away? If you want to stand up and give Him praise right now, and because you know the new is coming, what hell might you go through tomorrow? Praise Him today, because you know the new is coming. God's church will see a new heaven and a new earth. Don't be deceived. It's yours to receive. It's yours. It's yours. Don't let the lies of this world rob you from what's to come. The lies of this world will tell you that what you're going through right now, what you went through yesterday, what you're going to go through tomorrow are not going to go away. And on this world, they may not.
We're not of this world.
We're not of this world. And we're not meant to stay right here, right now. The new is coming. The new heaven, new earth, it's coming. It's yours to receive. And knowing that it's yours to receive, maybe that'll help carry you through today. Because He lives. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and I want to pray over you. Father God, Lord, I don't know what kind of troubles everybody in this sanctuary has right now, Lord, or everybody online, but Lord, I know that most, if not all of us, are going through something right now. We're struggling in some way or another. And Lord, sometimes we tend to take our eyes off the prize, Lord. Sometimes we turn away from keeping our eyes upon Jesus as we look at the angry waves that are all around. But Father, I just ask You to help us to focus on You, Lord. Help us to focus on our Jesus. Help us to focus on the creation that He's recreating. Lord, we know all things will be new. New heaven, new earth. And that's ours to claim, Lord. As long as we keep our eyes focused on You and keep our hearts fixed upon You, Lord. We just ask You to help us to keep us focused on You, Lord. When we get distracted by the things of this world, Lord, when we get distracted by our struggles, our pain, our suffering, help us to remember that You're right there, Lord, no matter what we're going through. Father, shine brightly into our lives, Lord, and shine through us so the world around may see. Because Lord, You want to see all people come to repentance. Father, may Your kingdom come and Your will be done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue. or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.